Lighting Up the Landscape on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
So, Brian, lighting the landscape, that's something that homeowners are starting to do more and more. I'm seeing folks lighting up the bushes or their landscaping, their trees, and their home using lighting, and I haven't done it yet.
That's right. It really makes a difference when you're driving through a residential neighborhood and you see someone who's got a really well thought out, high quality sort of landscape lighting, and you go through at night, the house just really stands out, looks nice.
And that's why I haven't done it yet, Brian, because I want to make sure when I do it that it looks nice.
Right. Because sometimes what happens is you go to the five, you know, someone will go to the Five and Dime and get these really cheesy lights that, you know, are falling apart. They don't really think out their plan too well, and they just kind of stick them in. And
what's a Five and Dime?
What was the name of that Five and Dime in that town?
Hartnett's.
Hartnett's or something, right? If anyone knows where Hartnett's was,
there you go.
I'll send you Milwaukee Sawzall if you can
tell
me.
Oh, wow. That's pretty. How's that? All right. Wonder if you can get that information by Google. But anyway, so you want to do it right if you're going to do it. And unfortunately, you need to think it through. You need to get the right lighting. And there's two major types of outdoor landscape lighting. You have the fluorescent. You have the solar.
Right.
And you have the low voltage,
right?
And for the most part, there is high voltage.
Yeah, you do have AC current ones as well. I know in my neighborhood, the builder did that as an option.
Yeah, usually
you could get these like spotlight, you know, on the front of your house, and you know, several people in my neighborhood have that. And I'm not a big fan because when you come out your front door, you got a spotlight in your face, right?
Yeah.
And then
they're great for buildings, especially historic buildings and things like that.
Right. And it. You know, Christmas time, people maybe change the color of the bulb or something like that, right. You know, but I think that.
All right. Well, we'll talk about the different choices and why you might use solar versus low voltage and or perhaps AC current landscape lighting after we provide our contact information.
All right. Well, you can always just go to our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com. Click on the Contact Us tab on the website. You can fill out our contact form there. Or our email address is there, which is us@handyguyspodcast.com. And go from there. Or just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or any of those other social media outlets.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let the Handy Guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
All right, Brian. So I want to talk about the low voltage versus low voltage lighting versus the solar lighting. But I know that you have recently put in some landscape lighting. In fact, you purchased it at your local True Value store.
I did. I got inspired as we were browsing the aisles there, and I said, I'm going to give it a try. And one of the things that prompted me was a potentially legal issue.
A legal issue. Wow.
Right. U.S. Code, Title 4.
Do we need a lawyer?
No. U.S. Code, Title 4, Chapter 1, Section 6, Subsection A.
Okay.
Of the United States Federal Code.
Wow.
It says, it is the universal custom to display the flag only from sunrise to sunset on blah, blah, blah. However, when a patriotic effect is desired, the flag may be displayed 24 hours a day, if properly illuminated during the hours of darkness.
Okay, so you don't want to have to take it in every night.
I don't want to have to bring my flag
and all that.
Right. I don't want to have to bring my flag
in
every night.
Or reveille is in the morning, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I forget from.
All right.
So.
Taps is when someone's died, right? What do you play at the end of that? Come on, Brian, you were a Boy Scout, weren't you?
I think you were too.
Yes,
so,
it's been a long time. So you can leave it up all night. Now, what about when it rains?
If it's an all-weather flag.
Oh, okay. So if it's all-weather and it's properly lit.
Right. Then you can keep it up all night.
So you want it to light your flag.
I do. I have an all-weather flag. And so what I would do is leave the porch light on.
Right.
That's sufficient according to most interpretations of the code. But I wanted to do something, you know, have a dedicated light to it.
Okay.
And when we were browsing around at True Value, I saw some solar spotlights.
Solar, okay.
So I thought that's going to be So why solar versus low voltage?
Okay, so well, assuming that the light is is good enough to light your flag, it's probably good enough to light landscaping or the side of the home or whatever you want to light.
Right.
And you use solar, so why one or the other? Well, let's see. Let's talk about that. Why would you want to use solar? Well, for one, you don't use any electricity if you're using solar.
That's right. So
at least not powered by your meter.
Right. Through your meter. You don't need to worry about an outlet to plug into, a place to put a transformer. And all of that.
It has a different set of challenges, though. So you need sunlight, and you're going to need, I assume, to place the light. Some of the ones I've seen, the solar panels right on the lights. You can't stick them near a bush that's in the shade all the day,
right,
or under a bush, right, or under a roof, or anything like that. So
right. So in the solar category, you're right. There are two types of solar lights: ones that'll have that solar panel attached right to the light,
mm-hmm,
and ones that'll have what they call a remote solar panel, which will have a little wire to run over to a solar panel that gets put somewhere else.
So how far away can you run that remote panel?
Well, in the kit I got, it had three spotlights and one remote panel. And the wiring that came with it was good for about, I'm guessing, about 15, 20 feet. But you could certainly splice in longer lengths of wire if you ever needed to. But that was sufficient for me because I needed that remote because my house faces north.
Right.
And you get the best sunlight on the south side. So the front area where my flag is off my front porch is in the shade for more than half the day.
Okay.
So I needed something with a remote so I could put it kind of alongside the house. And that worked out well for me.
So you still are running wire. Is the wire similar to the low voltage? It's just that small gauge?
Yeah, it's just a lightweight twisted copper wire.
So you can just run it a few inches underground or whatever you can.
Yeah, I just covered it with some mulch.
Okay.
And actually behind the holly bushes, I didn't even bother to cover it because you can't really tell.
Now, with typical low voltage wiring, you need a transformer, a little box that has to be placed somewhere. In your case, you have to worry about placing that panel and running the wire, and there's a battery somewhere. Where's the battery?
The battery, I believe, is in with the remote.
Okay.
Because that remote can power, three spotlights, and you can plug the spotlights in series, or you can plug one in, you can plug them all into the remote, or you can plug one into the remote and then one light into the previous light and so forth down the line.
So there's a battery. So
that
battery must not last forever, I imagine.
Yeah. I don't know how many duty cycles, so to speak, that it's rated for.
Okay.
You know, the battery charges up during the day and it runs out overnight. I don't know.
So is it making it through the night here, Brian? Are you satisfying the code? What code was it? Chapter?
Right.
Whatever.
U.S. Code, Title 4, Chapter 1, Section 6,
code?
Subsection B.
All right. Well, is it satisfying Subsection B?
Subsection A.
Oh.
Subsection B
says— Does that
mention
anything about batteries running out at 3 a.m.?
Subsection B, Paul, says the flag should be hoisted briskly and lowered ceremoniously.
There you go.
But no.
I'll be over the next time you're lowering it to play my bugle.
Right. So the, the days are, or the nights are getting longer, the days are getting shorter, right? So right now it's lasting through the night. We have longer.
So have you been up at 4:35, 5:36 to inspect it, make sure it's putting out the proper lumens onto your flag?
Not every morning, no. But I have gotten up and seen it on, before the, and they're...
Now, is there anyone that would be there to prosecute you if it had not gotten you through the night?
No, I was actually reading about this.
What are the penalties here? Is there fines issued?
It's typically not enforced, these laws. They're
just
kind of suggestions, I guess. I wish all laws were like that.
Now, if you were to light a big, huge flag like you used to see at Perkins, remember those? Was it Perkins?
Perkins Pancake House.
Yeah. Was it Pancake? Perkins
Steakhouse. Ponderosa Steakhouse.
No, I think it was Perkins. You think you're... Well, they would have to use, a megawatts to light those flags.
Yeah, like a million watt lights.
They were like the size of a half of a football or some football field.
Yeah, they did have some huge flags up there.
Okay, when you said you have to light the flag, I'm like, that's what I remembered. The old huge flag was always lit up at night. So that makes sense to me. Okay, so you have the issue of the battery. Now, what about the bulbs? What kind of bulbs?
They're LED bulbs, so they use very little electricity. So that's key with the solar systems, right? Because you can only store so much electricity during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And So you need, when you're drawing that electricity, you need to minimize its use. And so they all have LED bulbs in them.
Okay. So we've talked then about the pros, and we've kind of implied the pros and cons. The pros are no electricity required. The cons are you need to make sure you have some sunlight available. Certain situations, right. Really
and
shady
those LED, yeah, and those LED lights are not going to be as bright as what you can get with some low voltage lighting.
And there's your other con, yeah.
Or with your, you know, regular house current.
I'm sure
lighting.
They've improved them, but the low voltage lights for landscaping aren't all that bright either, although they're different levels, I guess you can get.
There are
different voltages. But they're not. None of them are going to be as bright as the big blasters, the 110 volts that you get from your, you know,
right.
Directly
you know, the
from
big
the house.
150 watt flood bulbs, yeah. You know, that you'd put
but
on.
But you know, the problem with those, as you said, not only do they get in your eyes, but to do it well, you don't want to see those lights, and that's hard to do. If you ever look at some historic buildings, I've noticed this in some pictures of buildings, say in Europe. Where they'll light up the side of a castle or something like that, you never actually see the lights. It just looks like the building is glowing, and that's awesome when they do it right.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do it right. Usually you just see them some out in the yard, you know, you see these light bulbs sitting there, which is okay, I guess, temporarily in the holiday season or something like that, but I wouldn't want it.
You know, my neighbor has those. It's 250 watt bulbs. They're powered on house current, and they
keep you awake at night.
Yeah, they just shine on his house all night long.
You're right. When you walk out of a house and you almost fall off the porch because you can't see, and you got these bulbs in your face, that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the low voltage, this traditional landscaping lights, the pros and cons, why you might want to use these low voltage volts. They hook up to a transformer. I had them in my old house.
Yes, I did too.
And they were just the low end, cheapy, big box, cheapest ones you can possibly buy. They were okay. And they were nice because the one thing I liked about them, they didn't really throw much light on your landscaping or on the house, but they just gave you just enough light to kind of see where you're walking at night because it was a pretty dark neighborhood.
Sure. I put them in a... I don't know if you remember my old house, Paul, but in the front there was like this little flower bed along the front porch.
Yeah.
And I put some really nice ones in there. They were stainless steel.
I do remember
sort
those.
Of like little lantern-looking things. And I put six of them in there. So they were relatively close together. But that provided a nice light onto that front porch. So I wasn't lighting the whole walkway up with them, but it did provide accent lighting there in the front of the house. And those were low voltage.
So let's talk about the advantages. They're low voltage, so they're not using a lot of power, but there is power being used. There's probably some inefficiency a little bit when you go to a transformer. I'm not sure that you lose some heat there. But the nice thing about them is they're using these, as you already mentioned with the solar, same advantage. You have this cable that you can just run under the mulch. If you happen to dig it up with your shovel, it's easy to repair. You're not going to electrocute yourself.
Right.
Or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that's key. The low voltage wiring is very safe, and you don't need to worry about that electrocution. If you're using alternating or, you know, house current 110, there's all kinds of codes that regulate how you can run that wire, deep it needs to be.
It's usually got to be 12 to 18 inches, depending on where you live. It's got to be underground
in a conduit
feeder.
And all,
You have to use that heavy underground feeder, which is not easy to work with when you're splicing it in. And if you're running it up to lights, then they probably require that to be in conduit, heavy conduit.
Right. Some areas that UF, if you use just the UF, the underground feeder wire, that needs to be at a certain depth. Unless it's in conduit, then it doesn't need to be as deep. You know, there's all
even
kinds
then
of
it's
rules.
Going to be deeper than this, even if it's in conduit. I had to put my it was an underground feeder. In fact, you can't run an underground feeder in conduit because of the heat. You just run the wiring in
so
conduit.
You got to find the rules
usually
for
it's
18 what your
inches
area is.
And all that. So. But anyway,
so we're not getting into that. Don't email us about if we said anything weird on there.
Don't use it. It's just not.
Find out what your rules are for your
township. You're doing too much digging around the garden area. You don't want high, you know, the higher current around. Now, I'll tell you a quick little story on that, Brian. Yeah. Though, so Brian, I have a funny story. On one day, I was at a house where someone was digging, and they discovered the underground feeder only about 4 inches underground.
Yeah, that's not
so
good.
It's not good, and it was cut. Fortunately, no one got hurt or anything like that. But
What's the phone number if you are digging?
Every state I think has one.
Yeah, there's a new universal number.
Oh, is there?
It's like 511 or 611.
Yeah, do
or,
that.
I don't
no,
know.
It's free. I had it done when I was putting a sub panel in my.
All right, garage. Keep talking while I find out okay. what it is.
I was putting a sub panel in my garage. It was detached garage, and I did it all according to code, had it inspected, and it was about, say, 20 feet from the back of my home. But anyway, I called them up just for, not just for fun, but for safety, and just, I was curious what they did. And they marked all the lines around the home, but they were all the ones outside, like the perimeter of my home. And there weren't any in my backyard, or if there were, they were from a previous homeowner, and they only did like the official utility lines.
Right.
So they're not necessarily, because I knew there was some electric in my backyard from when there was a light out in the garage. So it was right. there, but they don't cover that. They just cover what's on their official.
Right. Well, the number is 811. They're trying to make that nationally okay. universal now. So call before you dig. Look at.
What if I'm just going to go out and, you know, dig a. Put in a little garden. Do I call 811?
You can call 811. It doesn't cost you anything. They're going to come out and mark.
Yeah, they mark. You'll see the spray painted. I see it every once in a while. I'll be driving right. through it down a street and you Although, see where they've marked
I'll tell
gas
you,
lines. And
I'll tell you a story about that. So I did a 811. I was putting in, helping a church put in a playground behind the church.
You didn't call 811, so you had to call 911?
No, I had to call before you dig number, right? Right. So they came out.
I remember this.
And they marked everything.
Yeah.
And we're digging. And this was like commercial playground equipment, like concrete, 4 foot deep by 3 foot across by 3 foot across kind of like footings for uh-huh. like big, huge, I don't know what they were going to be. But right. we had a lot of digging to do. So I'm digging down. What do I hit?
You hit something, gas line.
I hit the phone.
Oh, phone line, okay.
Sliced 12 pairs of
nice
coming in.
At least it was low voltage.
Right. So I moved over. All right, phone company's coming out to fix that because it was on their side of the D-mark. I'm moving down. I moved a couple feet away. I hit a gas line.
Nice.
Now, I didn't rupture the gas line, but...
You're dangerous, man. So call 811, even if it didn't work in your
that
situation.
That stuff was supposed to all be marked out. Right. But the gas company, it was a propane vendor, actually, and they said, we're not sending someone out. It runs at a right angle off of the tank to the building. Well, it didn't. It ran at about a 60-degree angle off the tank and made a turn right through where this playground was going to be. So they were wrong. But anyway, story short. All right. Let me give you a little tip on working with this landscape lighting, whether it be low voltage or solar.
And you know, we didn't even cover this, but other disadvantages of an advantage of low voltage. But give me your tip because it might come into play here.
It might. They're very simple to work with. So what you can do is you can move them around. So you can kind of like at night, you know, you have a general idea, a plan in mind when you buy them, but so you get enough of the right kind of lights, you know, the lights for the bush or the lights for the tree or the spotlights or
you might want to let your neighbors know before you do this because they don't call 911 about a prowler.
You can kind of hook them up temporarily and move them around at night to see how they look, right? And try them in different places before you finalize on that plan.
Absolutely.
And that's what I did with the flag. I said, okay, you know, I need one coming from little spot coming from this side, little spot from this side, and one coming up from underneath. So I kind of positioned them. But then that first night after the battery was charged, I kind of readjusted them a little bit and positioned them so it was just how I wanted
it. Well, the cool thing, Brian, about the low voltage is you can get a few more lights. You can, depending on the size of your transformer, you're going to be able to get more lights so you can add.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can even tweak it that way. So that is one of the nice advantages. You have a little more ability to play around with your setup. Now, if you get a kit and it says you can only hook up 5 lights, that's all you can do if it comes with 5 lights. But sometimes there's some expansion ability depending on the size of your transformer.
Yeah, there usually are. Those transformers are rated in watts, the amount of watts of wattage of lights they'll allow downstream. Mm-hmm. And it'll tell you right on the transformer package how many watts it is. So you add everything up and make sure you don't exceed it. So, you know, it's pretty straightforward. So there are 500-watt transformers and there's 1,500-watt transformers. So you're going to want to get one, you know, and the more wattage, the more expensive they are. But, you know, make sure you get what you need.
Well, after this, I want to talk about a couple things I don't like about low-voltage wiring and a couple things I don't like about the solars.
Okay.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
So, Brian, I am not a big fan of the solar because of it doesn't give up that much light. But I'm seeing some of the new, it's getting better. Like the more I see right. of it, you know, I'm kind of waiting.
Like I have three spotlights on my flag.
Right.
And that's just enough light, right?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So, and the other problem with it is if you have a cloudy, rainy day, yeah. it's not going to soak up enough sunlight to give you full illumination all night.
Now, here's a couple problems I have with the low voltage lighting, and yeah. that's that their bulbs tend to burn out a lot more than the LEDs. So you gotta keep a little stock of those little tiny little bulbs.
Sure.
And be ready. Also, the timer, you have a timer on a lot of them. If you're using a timer, you got to keep it synced with when you want it to come on, because obviously darkness doesn't set in at the same time every night. Now, I assume some of them have, you can use the sensors that sense when it's dark and yeah, they just come on.
The photo sensor, yeah. photo cells. Right?
So that would make sense. But the solar does that by default. They just have that ability, right? They just
right. come on when so it's dark. There is no timer option that I'm aware of for the solar lighting. They come on at dusk and they go off when the sun comes up, or they run out of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Run out of battery power. But you're right. On those low voltage, you can have them come on at, you know, have them come on at 6 p.m. and go off at 9 p.m. You set your timer.
And the other thing with the low voltage is really neat. They use like and some of them you can just, there's a connector that stabs right into the main wire, the trunk, so you can put your light at anywhere along that main trunk line.
Right.
The downside is that connector sometimes rusts, doesn't work, and in the bulb, you know, even when you replace the bulb, the whole fixture's not working, and you gotta
figure out where your connection has gone bad, right? So those stabbing connectors, they're convenient in that you're not making a splice, but those splices do need to be watertight, so you got to make sure you get those connectors crimped on there really well, or water can seep in there and you'll get some corrosion and then a bad connectivity.
And the other thing is, almost no matter what, I find with either of these technologies, yes, it's the right way to go, it's safe, it's convenient, but you will end up cutting a line eventually because
right.
you know, you just it's your landscaping, right? So you're always digging things up and you forget where a line is and you just hit one.
You just hit a shovel in there, you get your
it takes one,
your little garden weasel out there and you're weaseling away and
exactly.
and boom, you get wire wrapped around your tines, right?
So the landscape lighting, you know, it can be nice, but it's also a bit of a pain because it gets in the way.
So far, I haven't had that.
Okay.
But, yeah, I agree. So, you know, next time I'm putting mulch in or I'm I don't know. Yeah, I might run into something
that's
down
when
the
you,
road.
That's when you hit it. And sometimes, depending on how far deep it is, either way, you're going to hit it unless you really buried it. So
Right. I didn't.
And no
I
one
just
does.
Spread there's, some
there's
mulch
There's kind of
over
no point
it.
In it because you might need to adjust them and change right. them. So, all right. Well, there you have it. Low voltage landscape lighting. And I was reading some things that says it really can add value to your home, you know.
Yeah, sure.
What was that movie we were watching? They had that really expensive home and it was all lit up really well.
The Joneses.
Is that what it was? The Joneses, yeah. So if you want to keep up with the Joneses, you need some landscape lighting from Nordstrom's appliance floor or something.
No. From True Value, Paul. Don't forget.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Right. I'm thinking of the movie. But no, actually, you can get a selection of it at True Value and all your parts and light bulbs and all that. And we thank True Value for...
Sponsoring this
series, and you can check out all of the True Value stuff at startnow.com.
Come on.
I don't remember. Start right now, start here. What is it, Brian?
Hold on.
All right, start right.
Start right, start
right,
here,
start
dot com. No, right. Leave some of that in, though.
Oh, you want me to leave all that in?
Not all of it. Leave some
all
of
right,
it
we're in. Leaving it all in. All right, so it is start right, start here, dot com. I always get it confused. I apologize, True Value. But there you can check out what all the different bloggers are doing, some cool projects, and you'll maybe find us out there as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks, bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time. Same handy website.